an Osho talk. From Unconsciousness to Consciousness, number 16.
Where did the devil come from when he appeared to Adam and Eve as a serpent?
A very simple principle has to be understood. If you lie once, then you will have to lie 1001 times to protect the first lie. Still, it remains unprotected. Those 1001 lies cannot make it a truth. They may repress it, but it is there. And in fact, they are all lies. So every lie in its own turn needs again protection. And you cannot protect a lie by any truth. Truth needs no protection. When you speak the truth, it is self-evident, complete. Nothing else is needed, no support. It has its authenticity in itself. The lie is empty. It has no evidence. But you can befool people by telling a series of lies. Perhaps one they may find out. But when thousands of lies are told, it is very difficult to find out in this crowd the basic lie. God is the basic lie. So basic that it needs thousands of theologies in the world to protect it. Still, it is not protected. Still, God is not self-evident. Still, it needs proof. Still, no argument is enough. All arguments are found to be illogical. Yes, they can convince someone who is already convinced. But there is no point in convincing a person who is already convinced, who has accepted, believed. He needs no argumentation about it, no proofs. But all your arguments about God and proofs have not been able to convert a single atheist in the whole history of humanity. This is something to be thought about. And then, because you have spoken the basic lie, now you have to surround it, to cloud it with many more lies. The story of the devil seducing Eve and Adam. And the fall of humanity. These are supporting lies. But very interesting to go into them. Interesting to see the cunningness of the so-called messiahs, avatars. So-called theologians. Before I enter into this story, I would like you to know the full version. Generally, the full version is not known. Only half the story is being told. Because the other half became inconvenient. Adam and Eve were not the first to be created by God. The real story is that Eve was a second thought. God has created one woman, but it was not Eve. Adam and one woman he has created. When I look at the story, it is very revealing. He created man and woman, but he must be, and he was a Jewish God. It is a Jewish story, and he must have been a perfect Jew. He created only one bed, so small. That even for one person, it was not comfortable. It was impossible to put the man and woman together on that small bed. So the first night, the honeymoon night, turned out into a nightmare. the first fight was, who is going to sleep on the bed? Of course, the man was very male chauvinistic. But it was not yet proved that he is superior in any way. And there was no precedent. They were the first ones. The woman was very reluctant. She said she is going to sleep on the bed. The whole night they quarreled. The first encounter group. Pillow fight and the next day God has to withdraw that woman. Since then the real woman has not existed. To me, even a fictitious story can be used to search into the mind who created it. The real woman had to be withdrawn. Then Eve was created, but not as an independent being. She was created out of a rib taken from Adam's body. Now she will be dependent. She will be just a part. The first woman was solely independent. There was no question that she was inferior and Adam was superior. But the second woman, from the very beginning, is inferior. She is just a small rib taken out of Adam. Nothing more. Just a part, not even a whole. From this point, the degradation of woman starts. Adam's fall may come later on, but woman's degradation, slavery, it starts with this, that the real woman God has withdrawn. This God also has a male chauvinistic mind. Why? He could not say that you are both equal. There is no need to fight. But he must have been really a Jew. He could not make a little bigger bed where both can be accommodated. It is not only a question of bed. Remember what I am trying to say to you, God could not manage the equality of man and woman, could not manage that they can be accommodated in a coexistence without anybody being on a power trip. He himself is a man. Naturally, Adam is not withdrawn. the woman is withdrawn, is annihilated, is simply finished, and the second woman is only a false pseudo-woman. From the very beginning, God manages the second woman to be pseudo-woman. This Veda story proves that Eve is never going to be equal. How the part can be equal to the whole? But when you put somebody in an inferior position, which is absolutely unfair and unjust, there is bound to be rebellion. The people who have invented this story may not have been aware what they are inventing. And nobody has interpreted it the way I am doing. The woman must have been carrying great anger. The woman must have been wanting in some way to sow God that if you can be unfair, she can also destroy what you are trying to make. She is going to revolt. In the story, the part of the serpent Christians and Jews make very important. That is only an excuse. The basic thing is, the moment you try and enforce slavery, inferiority on anybody, you are sowing the seeds of revolution, revolt. It is a revolt. Why serpent could not convince Adam, which would have been far easier? Because man is thought to be more intelligent, more rational, more adventurous, more egoistic, and all these qualities would have been helpful for the serpent, the devil, to incite Adam against God's order, to provoke him to revolt, to disobey. And this seems to be absolutely logical, psychological, relevant. Women in the whole history of men have never revolted. In fact, it is only man who has revolted many times The woman has never revolted. But the first woman is revolting. And the devil finds it easier to convince the woman, which is not right. Absolutely not right. Because all the religions of the world are supported by the woman, not by the men. She is the backbone of all the religions of the world. If she has supported anybody, it is the priest, not the devil. It is the God, not the devil. Man has a very superficial support for religions, a very meaningless. It has no deep intrinsic connections with religion. But the woman around the world, in all the religions, has been the basic support. Otherwise, all these religions would have disappeared. So there are only two possibilities. Either these religions are proposals from the devil, which seems to be a natural conclusion out of this story, that these religions are nothing but strategies of the devil, and he is still doing the old trick of manipulating the woman, and through the woman manipulating the man. Or the whole story is just to condemn the woman. Those who have invented it to condemn the woman. That she is dangerous. That she can have a rapport with the devil very easily. Man has to be aware of it. In the Middle Ages, the popes and the Christianity have done such incredible job, unbelievable, they forced thousands of women to confess. That they are witches. The word witch is not a bad word. It has no ugly connotations with it. But Christians of the Middle Ages made it an ugly word, which simply means a wise woman. It no more means that they corrupted the word. They managed to mean the word what they wanted. A witch is one who is in sexual relationship with the devil. Not only ordinary women were forced to confess and burned alive. Once a woman accepted that she is a witch and has sexual relationship with the devil, then certainly she cannot be allowed to remain alive, even for a single moment. She is bringing devil into human blood. She will pollute the whole humanity. She has to be burnt alive. And it was not ordinary women only, even nuns. Mother superiors. They managed and forced them to confess. Anybody could raise the suspicion. Just that was enough. Anybody, any man could raise the suspicion to the Pope, to the Bishop, to the High Priest, that this woman, this nun, seems to be a witch. That was enough for the investigation to begin. And there was a special court arranged by the Pope, the Grand Inquisitor, with a big office, hundreds of people working for him in this great investigation, so that devil can be destroyed from every place, wherever he has sown his seed. And nuns were more articulate in their confessions, naturally, because they know what confession is, they know what devil is, they know what kind of sexual relationship can happen with the devil. They knew all these things. And they have been suppressing their sexuality. It was very easily possible that they may have dreamt that they are having a love affair with the devil. And it was thought to be a martyr, because you are helping the people of God to eradicate all possibilities of devil. You are ready to risk your life. They described in detail how the devil comes, how he looks with two horns. Instead of fingers, hoofs. not only that, they described that the devil has a forked sexual organ. That is great imagination. And once one nun confessed that, then every other nun was even more articulate, more imaginative. Why a forked sexual organ? So that the devil can have a double intercourse at the same time. So he can use women's both the entries in the body at the same time. And it was believed. And they were burnt. And they burnt themselves joyously because they are helping the great cause of the Messiah, of God. Now, in this story too, man is kept out, is not really responsible for the sin. The real responsibility is put on the woman. The serpent seduces her mind. As I see it, and in the East, serpent is thought to be just the opposite. It is not the symbol of the devil. It is only in Christianity and Judaism that the serpent is the symbol of the devil. In the East, the serpent is the wisest animals on the earth. In India, the serpent is worshipped. There is a special day in the year devoted for the worship of the serpent. And millions of serpents of all kinds are given milk, worshipped, because it has been thought in the East that serpent is symbol of wisdom. Why? Because actually the way the serpent moves inside your body, the Kundalini power moves exactly in the same way. Hence the Kundalini is being translated in English as serpent power. If you have seen serpent standing on his tail, you will be surprised because serpent has no bones. Standing on his tail is a miracle because there are no bones, so how he is supporting himself? ordinarily the serpent is always sitting or resting with his body in the form of a circle. That is the meaning of Kundalini. Kundalini means circular. Concentric circles. That is the ordinary situation of everybody's inner energy. It is in a circular way, sleeping or resting. But another strange thing about the serpent is that it has no ears. Still, it dances to the tune of a certain music. When scientists found it that it has no ears, they could not believe. Then how it happens that it dances to certain music? It is only lately they have become aware that it has no ear, that is true, but its whole body is sensitive to the vibrations of music. So it dances not by hearing the music, it dances by feeling the music. Remember the difference. Not by hearing the music. It cannot hear. There is no way of hearing. But the vibrations of the music, the waves of the music hitting on its body, its body is so sensitive that it starts moving with those vibrations. That too is exactly the similar case in the inner serpent power, the Kundalini. It too starts rising up with a certain music. It has no ears. It has not even a body. It is just pure energy. But a certain music helps it tremendously. And in the East, we have found what music, what chanting will help. For example, chanting Om continuously hits your sleeping energy. The function of the Om is just to make the inner serpent rise up, stand up. The same happens with the sound Hu. It can happen with other sounds too. But these two sounds have been found perfectly certain to work. And the Eastern music is totally different from the Western music. Western music at the most is entertainment. At the best, at the worst, it also hits the serpent, but to not upwards, exactly opposite, downwards. So most of Western music is sexual. It is the same energy moving downwards that becomes sexuality. The same energy moving upwards becomes spirituality. And when the serpent reaches to the highest point in your being, the seventh chakra, the hit of the energy opens that chakra, just like a lotus flower. The happening is so exactly like the lotus flower that the lotus flower became immensely significant in the East. But the idiots who invented this story, the devil came in the form of serpent and seduced Eve's mind, provoked her to revolt. God has told not to eat from two trees, the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. If you are impartial, with no prejudice, then who is doing the harm to man, God or devil? God is preventing man from knowing. And just cut all your knowing and what you are, other than a vegetable. A cabbage or a cauliflower. Just cut all knowing. And that's what God's idea was, to keep men always in the state of being vegetable. Of course, vegetables don't revolt. Vegetables are dependable. Knowledge is dangerous. Intelligence is dangerous. If you look without any prejudice, then serpent is the friend of man, not the enemy. And even in this story, he fulfills the Eastern concept of wisdom. Although the people who invented this story had no idea that this interpretation is possible. But with me, anything is possible. The serpent is not devil. And the word devil has to be understood. It comes from the same Sanskrit root as the word divine. So devil and divine don't mean different things. The Sanskrit root is behind both. In Sanskrit, it becomes Deva. In English, it becomes divine and devil. Now, again, a part of history which is not being told in the churches, that devil was an angel, a divine being, just like other angels who go on singing Alleluia to God. He stopped singing this Alleluia to God. He must have been the most intelligent angel. And he started raising questions. Questions which cannot be answered. Because if God was capable of answering those questions, there was no need to throw devil out of heaven. What kind of God who can't answer questions and can create existence? He must be knowing the most, because he is the creator of everything. And if a certain angel asks questions, this would be welcomed. But God seems to be very dictatorial, a despot. No questions. He only gives commandments. Do this, don't do that. But never ask why. That is not for you to ask why. Do or die, but don't ask why. And this angel started asking why. Hence he was thrown out. This is the angel who is condemned as devil, Satan, and different names. And this is the angel who puts this idea into Eve's mind, that God is afraid that if you eat from the tree of knowledge and life, you will be just equal to God. And he does not want anybody to be equal to him. He wants to remain superior above all. The only one who knows, the only one who understands, the only one who commands. He is very jealous and does not want any rival. But if you don't eat the fruit of these two trees, you will never know what life is. You will never be able to explore this mysterious and beautiful existence. Why he has chosen Eve? why he has not chosen Adam. That would have been more direct. But there is a reason. Adam is male, God is male. This angel has been thrown out because he questioned, doubted, and he also understands that Eve suffers because God has been very unkind and inhuman to her. She has been created by birth a slave. She cannot become independent. So she carries deep down the possibility of rebellion. Adam has nothing to say against God. In fact, he is very much in favor of God, because with the first woman, when he had quarrel, God withdrew the woman. He is the chosen one, the really only begotten Son of God. He is special. For him, God destroyed the woman. For him, he made another woman inferior to him in every possible way. So it will be difficult to put revolution in the mind of man. He has a vested interest with the establishment. God is the establishment. And he is favored by the establishment. So why he should revolt? For rebellion, you have somebody to find who had some grudge, some wound inflicted upon. Here too, the serpent proves the wisdom, the understanding. You can see my work. I have worked more on women than on men. Almost more than 70% of my sannyasins are women. For the simple reason, because the woman is the most exploited down the ages, most oppressed down the ages. Throughout the world, inhumanly treated by everybody, Buddha, Rama, Krishna, Mahavira, everybody condemns her. What to say about ordinary people? sees the most suffering, and the suffering has been so long that she has completely forgotten that there is some other way also. I know that serpent was wise. In fact, God seems to be very evil when he denies that you should not eat the fruit of knowledge and you should not eat the fruit of life. This is very evil. And makes it a point that if you disobey me, you will be thrown out of the Garden of Eden. Then you will not be protected by me. Then you will be on your own. In the Garden of Eden, you need not bother about food, you need not bother about anything. Everything is taken care of, but it is a concentration camp. There must have been electric wires around the Garden of Eden. But a serpent can enter into electric wires without any difficulty. To me, God seems to be very evil, making this emphatic point that disobedience is the greatest sin. I would like to say to you, obedience is the greatest sin. Listen to your intelligence, and if anything feels right, do it. But you are not obeying. You are going with your intelligence. If your intelligence finds something is wrong, then whatsoever the risk and whatsoever the consequence, go against the order. No order is higher than your intelligence. And God making this point that disobedience becomes the original sin. All other sins are just byproducts. He does not bother about theft, stealing, murder, rape. No. All these things, no problem. If Adam was raping, it will do. Of course, he could not rape another woman because there was no other woman, but there were animals. And people have been known to rape animals. And he was himself like an animal. He may have butchered, killed animals for eating. He must have been a cannibal. If there were other human beings, but there were not. So he was eating other animals. But he himself was an animal and nothing else. But no, these are not sins. Not even crimes. It is perfectly okay with God. All these criminals of the world, all rapists, all sadists, all masochists, Adolf Hitler's, Genghis Khan's, Timur Lenin's, Joseph Stalin's, all are okay. There is no problem. The greatest sin is disobedience. It's strange. From God. God should say to his children that you be intelligent, sharpen your intellect, and follow your inner being and consciousness. But he wants them to remain dependent on him for everything. That's the desire of a dictator. So I cannot condemn the devil. I respect him. Immensely respect him. Because it is because of him that the humanity exists, that man has evolved, that we have been able to produce people like Charles Darwin, Michelangelo, Galileo, Copernicus, Albert Einstein, Freud, Marx. It is because of him there have been Buddhas, Jesuses, Pythagoras, Heraclitus, Socrates. It is because of him the whole credit goes to the devil. Without him, just cabbages and cauliflower and nothing else. If, of course, persuaded Adam very easily. So, anybody who has invented this story understands something of psychology. That the man, if he loves a woman, would like to do anything the woman wants. If it is a question between his beloved and God, he will choose his beloved. Love is so significant to man that he can risk the Garden of Eden and all its pleasures. And the argument was also solid. Because the woman simply repeated what the serpent has told her. that it is strange in this beautiful garden we are not told that there are poisonous trees, don't eat them, their fruit, otherwise you will die. We have been not told that there are trees which have no nourishment for you, don't eat, it is simply tiring your digestive system, unnecessarily burdening it. We have been prevented from two trees which we would have never found on our own. In such a big garden, how we would have found? Because it was not a botanical garden where on each tree the name of the tree is written. It would have been just a coincidence if they had ever come across those two trees. And he prevents that, and it seems perfectly logical, perfectly practical and pragmatic. The woman is more practical, more pragmatic, more earthbound than man. The woman does not argue, cannot argue much, but she has an instinctive feeling, an intuitive feeling about certain things. And it was so clear to her without any argument that preventing us from knowing, and knowing will open all the horizons of adventure, discovery. And what we are doing here if we don't know anything? What is the point of being here at all? And the tree of life, we will live here and die, and we will never know what life is. And if we cannot know what life is, how can we know what death is? So he has closed the real doors to existence. It was serpent who showed her the tree of knowledge. But the story remained incomplete, because God must have been spying. Dictators are always having FBIs and KGB. And Scotland Yard and what not. They are very much afraid. They are continuously watching that nobody does anything which goes against their order. So they were caught on the first tree. They had eaten the fruit of knowledge. They could not reach to the second tree. And they were expelled immediately. Because now it was sure that they will find the second. Once you have eaten the knowledge, now you cannot rest without knowing more about life, death, what happens before, what happens after, and what it is all about. Now it is not far away. The second thing is going to be the tree of life. And before they eat the fruit of life and become eternal, they have to be thrown out and doors have to be closed. And they were thrown out naked, alone in this vast world. And the man who threw them naked, alone in this vast world, without even a set of clothes, without something to eat for a few days, without giving them a shelter somewhere, you call him God? I think the best thing will be we change. It is devil who orders. That don't eat from these two trees, and it is God who comes as serpent and provokes them to revolt. And since then, since the doors of Eden closed against humanity, it has not been a loss. It has been a gain. Man has gone continuously growing, continuously evolving. Yes, the servants of God have been trying. Still, although you have been thrown out of Eden, but his agents are behind you, the Vatican, the Shankaracharya, the Imam. And he goes on sending his only begotten son and the Pagambar and the Tirthankara and the Avatara. For what? So that even now you can be prevented to know the ultimate secret of life. All the religions are against science, all the religions are against knowing the truth. They are all in favor of believing. And believing is not knowing. And of course, they are absolutely against knowing the eternal source of life. Because once man knows that he is eternal, he is going to say to God, go to hell. Who bothers about him? The moment you know eternity, and you know yourself is eternal, who cares? Why I do not care at all about God? Even my parents were always telling me that don't speak against God. Who knows? He may be if you don't want to believe in him, don't believe, but at least don't say anything against him. My teachers were telling me that, don't you feel afraid? I said, why should I feel afraid of somebody who is not? I I am. God is not. He should feel afraid. Why should I feel afraid? I am, I was, I will be. The day I came to know the truth of my consciousness, the eternity of my consciousness, the word God became simply useless. The devil did a tremendous service to humanity. The day humanity will understand the actuality, all the temples of God will be demolished. Because he has been from the very beginning against us. And if you want some temple, then you should create a temple for devil, the serpent. Because all that you are, all that you have, the man reaching to the moon, all the discoveries of biology which can make human body to live at least for 300 years healthy and young, you will be surprised that still there are people in Soviet Russia, near the Caucasus mountain, there is a tribe in which you can find people of 150 years, 160 years, very easily. And not in a hospital bed, their legs hanging in the air. No, it's still working, it's still alive. In Caucasus, you can find a man of 120 years of age is getting married. Six generations of his are there, alive. And he is going to get again married. In India, a small part that used to be part of Kashmir and has been forcibly, illegally taken over by Pakistan, there are people who are 150 years, that is average. It is not a surprise to those people. They are surprised that why others go on dying so soon. Scientists are working out what is the reason. Is their climate the reason? Are their food? Are their race, that they come with an inbuilt age What is the reason? But yet nothing has been found which is different from you. So it seems that they have lived apart in the mountains. And the idea of 70 years age has not hypnotized them. They have not thought that you have to live only 70 years. It seems to be a kind of deep hypnosis down the ages. Everybody knows how long one man is to live. 70 years. So, if you live hygienically, with better food, climate, and take care of your body, perhaps 80 years, perhaps 90 years. But that's all. I am reminded of George Bernard Shaw. At the age of 85, he moved out of London. It's strange because he has lived that long in London and his whole society was London. All his friends were there. All those who appreciated and the intelligentsia. It was in those days, London was the capital of the world. At the age of 85, suddenly he decides to move out of London. And he starts going to all the cemeteries into nearby villages. His friends ask, "Are you going mad? What are you doing? What are you searching for?" He said, "I want to find a cemetery where people have lived more than 100 years." I will move to that village. And he moved to that village where he found on the grave that somebody has lived 100, somebody 110, somebody 120. Mm-hmm. He moved to that village. He said, "This village has the right psychology." And he lived really long. Perhaps that psychology helped. Psychology also creates a climate around you. Man can live, in fact, as long as he wants, because the body is naturally embodied with all possibilities to go on renewing itself. It is the only mechanism, science has not discovered any mechanism which can go on renewing itself. The body is continuously renewing, throwing out all dead cells, creating new living cells. It has such a miraculous process, fighting with all the germs that can kill it. It immediately produces antibodies to fight with them. And wherever is the need, those antibodies immediately start rushing towards that point. if by some mistake you cut your hand and blood starts coming, what is happening to your inner chemistry? From all over your body, white cells immediately start rushing towards this point. A certain communication exists inside, that there is trouble. Blood should not go out too much. So white cells have to move and make a layer there to stop the blood from moving out. These white cells are intelligent people. In fact, far more intelligent than you may be. And they do their work fast and absolutely correctly, in the right way, never making a mistake. And thousands of processes are going in the body continuously. It is a self-renewing life. There is no fixed time for it. Science can manage very easily for man to live 300, 500, 1000 years. And naturally, if you can live 1000 years, then wisdom will go on growing. It is an accumulative process. And by that very possibility of man living long, new doors of knowledge will open, which will in their return make your life even more longer. This story is beautiful. I have always loved it, but it has been used wrongly. It has been misused. It has been used to prove to you that you are the byproduct of Adam and Eve's original sin. So you are born in original sin. Your very birth is in sin. You are a byproduct of it. The only way is to become obedient to God. That is the message of the story. If you want to get back into the Garden of Eden, be obedient to God. Believe, have faith, never doubt. Then God will welcome you back, accept you back. But do you want to go back to the Garden of Eden and become again Adam and Eve? At least I refuse to go there. Because I cannot fulfill that idiotic condition. But millions of people are trying to fulfill it. Christians, Mohammedans, Hindus. Everybody is trying to fulfill it, to get back, to undo what Adam and Eve and the serpent have done. To my people I say, we are not to undo it. They have done it, a great revolution. we have to go even further and explore more and know more. We have not to leave any nook and corner of existence and of our being unknown in darkness. We have to bring light everywhere. And unless that happens, you will be in misery, you will be in anguish. Your beliefs are not going to help, your faith is not going to help. And that Garden of Eden is just a fiction. It exists nowhere except in the neurotic minds, psychotic minds. Things like that exist. And this story is based on only on single point, and that is obedience or disobedience. I teach you disobedience. Obedience needs nothing, no intelligence, no guts. Obedience needs nothing. Disobedience needs everything, because you are going to be on your own. And unless you are on your own, you will never be able to know who you are.
The word content and voice recording on this audio format are the copyright of Osho International Foundation. Copyright dates 1953 through 2003. All rights reserved. Reproduction in any media is prohibited.